Every day, businesses rely on vast quantities of data to make decisions. But when that data lives at a main corporate office, how do you provide easy access wherever business happens? Find out when we return to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at The Wall Street Journal in New York. If your Instagram feed feels subpar compared to the people you follow, don't feel bad. There are huge content factors working behind the scenes, and they might be threatening Instagram's biggest appeal, and that's that it's not Facebook. More on this after these tech headlines. Peloton, the maker of those video streaming exercise bikes and treadmills, it is going public. The parent company, Peloton Interactive, started trading Thursday at $27 a share. That's nearly 7% lower than the price set at the company's initial public offering. We report that in total, gross proceeds could reach $1.33 billion. Amazon is bringing its virtual assistant Alexa to your ears and fingers. This week, Amazon showed off a dozen new devices, including new wearables like earbuds called Echo Buds. They're incidentally cheaper than Apple's AirPods. Also, an Alexa-enabled ring called the Echo Loop. Amazon is trying to expand the reach of its tech into everyday lives with new devices like a multifunction oven that can double as a microwave, an air fryer, as well as a motion sensor, all with the virtual assistant built into them. You can also expect Echo Frames, eyeglasses with microphones and speakers built in. FYI, Echo Frames and the Echo Loop as well are available through invite only. Speaking of glasses, Facebook says they're looking into developing augmented reality glasses in the future. At the company's annual virtual and augmented reality conference this week, Mark Zuckerberg talked up Facebook's recent acquisition of Control Labs, which is, of course, working to translate users' neural activity into digital signals. Fun fact, Zuckerberg says that people have bought more than $1 million in VR content from Facebook's Oculus store since its launch, a milestone for sure, but for some perspective, that accounts for around half a day of Facebook's ad revenue. Coming up, a look at how Instagram's content factories are becoming huge and why that's a problem for Facebook.
Welcome back to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business. How can businesses optimize their infrastructure to provide access to data wherever it's needed? We asked Denise Hasty, SVP of Comcast Business.
Ivory towers are a thing of the past. We have a financial services customer that has 16,000 branch locations. Now, using Comcast Business Managed Services, they are able to provide data for decision making at those 16,000 offices across the country.
Instagram's draw of 1 billion monthly users has apparently spawned an aggressive behind-the-scenes advertising economy that is proving to be quite the moneymaker. Here to talk more about that and how this move towards content can threaten the site's original appeal. Let's get more. Joining us from our San Francisco bureau is The Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells. Hey, Georgia.
Hey, Tanya.
So, you know, at one time, Instagram was about sharing pictures. You know, it was quaint enough. It's become this money-making machine, however, where it's essential for promotion, essential for celebrities to endorse things. But you write about how the content that we consume on Instagram in and of itself is becoming this money-making industry. There are now these companies that are making content for Instagram, and it appears to be a concept that's not only working, but thriving.
Yeah, so Instagram has really become the crown jewel of Facebook in the past couple of years. People go to Instagram because they look for the shiny, glossy photos, because they don't want to, or because they want to escape all the name calling and politics of the regular Facebook app. And now there's this growing industry of people who make content just for Instagram. And that's what we really dove into here.
Well, it's interesting because it's kind of referred to as, let me get it right, this online youth culture, which I guess is a thing now. Can you give me a sampling of what that is? Because that's really at the core of this, right?
Yeah. So the small scale is teenagers, you know, just at home making silly videos of melted cheese and dancing in their rooms.
Right.
And at the other end of the spectrum, we've now got media companies that employ, you know, dozens of people and churn out dozens or hundreds of posts a day designed to grab teens, millennials, and Gen Zers. And then also they intersperse these sponsored posts. So basically advertising as a way of making money. And these companies are growing very quickly.
And it was interesting to learn the power of these, you know, quote unquote, influencers that Instagram features and the kind of business celebrities are doing and the kind of money to be made through influence.
Yes. Regular up and coming influencers nowadays are usually charging $100 to even $5,000 a post. Wow. But on the far extreme end of the spectrum, there's celebrities who are posting on Instagram and who are charging many, many times that. According to this lawsuit from Kim Kardashian West's company against a brand, showed us how much she's making for a post. She charges several hundred thousand dollars for a single sponsored post on Instagram. And so that's wow. given this figure for all of these aspiring influencers to all look towards and aspire to hit one day.
But also very lucrative memes. I mean, we all love a good meme, and I guess there is some money to be made there. Another component of this content on Instagram.
Right. So part of the attraction of these meme accounts is like multiple people can run them. Like it's not just built around the personality of one person, right? So one celebrity. And so these meme accounts can be built around certain thematic topics like music or comedy or makeup or cosmetics or dogs. And then these meme factories are kind of churning out this content for these thematic accounts. And then part of the hope is also for the advertising, they can kind of drill down into very specific communities that these advertisers hope to reach. And so if you've got a account that is all about like hit music, then you also could imagine, you know, artists paying to promote themselves on those sorts of accounts.
I have to ask, where does this leave Facebook? We know Instagram is part of Facebook's empire, of course. How central is Instagram's success to Facebook at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Instagram is bringing in the, you know, more than half of the new ad dollars that are coming into Facebook. So Instagram is incredibly important, especially for Facebook's future growth. But the environment on Instagram looks very different than it did a couple of years ago, or a couple of years ago, or even, you know, maybe 8 years ago, closer to when Instagram was founded. When you logged on, it was much more your friends posting their baby photos
right.
and like vacation photos. And now people are going on Instagram and also looking for like a much broader set of content. They have rules that prevent buying and selling accounts. They have rules that prevent, you know, accepting money for posts without labeling them as sponsored. But Instagram largely hasn't enforced these rules, mm-hmm. according to some of the bigger account holders. And so even just earlier this year, one of the founders of Instagram was talking about kind of the evolution of the platform and was kind of saying that like he was bummed because Instagram was starting to feel less authentic over time because of that. And so it'll be really interesting to see, you know, does Instagram continue to kind of just have a wait and see approach, or does Instagram become more involved in policing the content mm-hmm. that appears on its platform?
So what do we make of this Facebook-Instagram gap, shall we call it? You know, times have changed. It's almost like who's driving who has the power, that there's this gray line we seem to be walking.
Yeah, one thing that I just like something that very starkly kind of demonstrated to me kind of the diverging fortunes of the coolness of Facebook and Instagram was that earlier this year I went to VidCon, which is this conference and right next to Disney in Anaheim. And it attracts like 75,000 influencers, or it did this year. Mm-hmm. And there were these two sessions that were both quite similar about how to stand out on Facebook and also how to stand out on Instagram. And when I went to the Facebook session, it was like more than half empty. It was like there were literally more empty chairs than people in the audience.
There you have
but
it.
At the Instagram session, it was hundreds of people. Like I got a seat only because I got to it 20 minutes before it began. And then there was this line of 20, like literally hundreds of people trying to get into the conference room. It probably could seat like a couple hundred people. And it was just like such a stunning reminder to myself of how much people were like eager to learn about how they could stand out on Instagram.
Yeah, there's some perspective. Georgia Wells, thank you so much. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.